Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode number 96. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode is brought to you in partnership with O2 Worldwide, creators of O2 Drops, liquid stabilized oxygen and minerals. Studies have shown that disease cannot exist in an oxygenated environment. When you give your body what it needs, the body will heal itself. Try O2 Drops today and feel the difference. For more information, visit www.giveyourbodythebest.com or call 917-523-7379 and learn how O2 Drops can improve your physical and financial health. Caprice O'Brien is a 22-year-old young woman who has been through the wire, surviving a car accident at age 14, learning how to walk again, and then surviving a second car accident a few years later that left her with seizures. At age 19, she had a severe seizure that caused her to hit her head on the concrete, resulting in total memory loss. Caprice's journey to recovery began at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, where she was encouraged to try yoga. With an invitation from her father, she began going to the gym. It was at the gym where glimpses of her future self were shown. Now, as a certified nutrition specialist through the National Academy of Sports Medicine, Caprice utilizes her knowledge to create custom meal plans that encourage healthy eating and appeal to the taste buds as well. Caprice is also a warrior and advocate of epilepsy awareness. Her motto is, "With excuse-free fitness, you can do all things." She is truly a walking miracle, and despite all obstacles, she continues to persevere. I am pleased to have Caprice O'Brien on our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. Caprice, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much. I feel great.
Thank you for coming on the show. And I'm really, really excited about having you because you are an amazing young lady.
Thank you.
But before we talk about excuse-free fitness, let's talk a little bit about you and your inspiring story. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago, so I'm about 20 minutes from downtown Chicago.
Okay, 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Okay, great, great. What was it like growing up in your neighborhood? I mean, prior to the accidents and memory loss?
Well, because of my memory loss, I don't really know what it was like growing up. But I have a lot of siblings, so I'm a twin, so besides my twins, there's also four other siblings that we have, so there's six of us total. So I imagine it was very interesting. Never boring.
So you never really gained your memory prior to the accident?
Correct.
All right, so you depend on your family and others to remind you of what life was like when you were younger.
That's correct.
After you had the seizures, because I understand, at first, you had one accident, then you had another accident.
Yeah.
And then after that, you had a seizure, right?
Yes, and I began having seizures every day. Right.
Every day. My goodness. That's a traumatic experience, you know, for a young woman to go through, for a young person to go through. Wow, that's amazing. Did you ever feel like giving up after having to go through all that?
I did. I felt like, what was the point? Like, why should I even keep going forward if this is going to be my life? If I'm just going to have seizures for the rest of my life, then, like, I don't really see the point of trying. That's where I was.
What was it that made you hang in there, though? What gave you the strength to hang in there?
My family was very supportive. They didn't really let me speak negatively, you know, and, like, they didn't let me have the woe is me attitude. And they recognized that I was depressed and didn't, like, kind of, they didn't coddle me and like, oh yeah, you know, it's okay to be sad. They were like, okay, yes. Well, my dad was like, okay, well, if you want to go, let's go to the gym. Let's do something. Like, you can do something, you know, like,
yes.
There has to be a way to get around, you know, this depression and heal from what you went through. So they were incredibly supportive. And always showed me a way, you know, showed me the positive side to things. Like, because you're still here. You're still alive.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God for family, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. And were you on different types of medication because of the seizures?
That's correct. I was on an anti-inflammatory medication for my brain because it was swelling. And then I was on anti-epileptic medication, so anti-seizure medicine. And then antidepressants for a while.
Mm. Oh, man. All types of medication then.
Right.
Wow. Now, how challenging was the recovery process for you, the recovery process?
Oh, man. So the recovery was a lot because, like, I would have to recover from each seizure. So, like, when I would have a seizure, it would be a couple days before I could get out of bed again.
Oh, man, wow.
Right. So, I mean, I'm 2.5 years seizure-free right now, though. So, but that's from eating clean and exercising. So, like, back then, the recovery process started at Mayo Clinic. They told me to try yoga, and then my dad took me to the gym.
Nice.
So, I had to move my body. Like, it was a lot of, like, excuses. Like, I'm just going to sit here because I have seizures, and I'm going to not do anything. But the way I recovered was like almost occupational therapy.
Right.
I had to get up and get active and eat better. I had to educate myself on what was making my seizures worse. So it was stress and low blood sugar was making my seizures worse. So since I'm hypoglycemic, you know, people would bring me Oreos when I would have a seizure. You know, I would eat them. I didn't care. Because
right.
I didn't know that
yes.
It was spiking my sugar. And when my sugar would spike because of hypoglycemia, it would drop really low, really fast. Huh. And that would just make everything worse for me. It was causing the migraines. And, you know, my body would be in a lot of pain after these seizures. Sometimes because of hitting the floor or because my muscles would tense up and I would get so tight trying to protect myself.
So you are seizure-free right now.
Two and a half years seizure-free.
God bless you. That is awesome. So now
you mentioned
something very, very important. You're saying that what helped the seizures come on was actually the food that you were eating.
Yeah, it was the food. It was the environment that I was around, and it was
really?
The stress. You know, so I was later diagnosed with epilepsy after the second accident, but it took me to pay attention to what those triggers were. So I have sensitivity to loud sounds, to flashing lights. You know, low blood sugar and stress. And there's other different environmental triggers that I didn't know about. But it was like, okay, if I can reduce my stress, if I can control my blood sugar, then I can get rid of two major triggers for me cause of having a seizure, you know?
Wow.
So
yes.
It was like, well, I'm going to do that then.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's smart. In the beginning, it was challenging because, you know, I had no motivation to eat. I didn't have an appetite. Like, the medication that I was on was giving me a very poor appetite. So that was making it worse as well because I was not, it was malnutrition, you know, like I wasn't getting what my body needed. And that was also making it worse and making my body very weak and it was hard for me to function. But it came to a point where I had to, like, you know, force myself to eat. Like, all right, okay, I know you're not hungry. I know this is causing this side effect, but you got to do it anyway. And it's a decision to take care of yourself, like, regardless of what circumstance, you know, because it was literally like, I did not get hungry and I eat all day now. I'm always hungry.
You're always hungry. That's amazing.
My metabolism is so fast now.
So you're the one that said, okay, these are obviously triggers to my condition. Let me stop it. Or did someone else bring it to your attention?
Oh, yeah, my neurologist and my nurses. So you have to go through different tests to be diagnosed with epilepsy. So, like, the flashing light test. The loud sounds was when I was, it was July 4th. That's when I realized how that was a trigger for me. But that's not one of the tests, like, in the hospital. Like, the other test is, like, strange smells, like, can cause someone to go into a seizure. But it's so many different triggers. But the only trigger that I figured out, my family and I figured out ourselves, was on July 4th when, you know, the loud sounds of fireworks, and it didn't end well.
Right. Yes.
So I just stay in the house now.
Okay, okay. Now, how has the accident and the circumstances surrounding the accident changed your life?
It changed my life because I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate that you only get 24 hours at a time. And if you just focus on tomorrow, all you're doing is robbing yourself of the joy that you can have today. And this is like, life is way too short to not be happy. Like, I don't remember 19 years of my life. I'm not going to be afraid and not follow my dreams or not do what I want to do because of fear or just because of what the circumstances that I did have. So it completely changed the course of my life because my attitude is different. The way I think about things, the way I view things, you know, I take risks. It changed the dynamic of my personality.
Yes,
when they tell me about who I was before, I'm like, ugh. What's wrong with her? You know, like,
okay,
me, a completely different person.
Is that right? That's interesting. Because, okay, so now you can see that you're totally different from what they told you you were before.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely different.
Wow. Really? Wow. So if you had a chance to do it over again, would you say that this is for the better?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And these just saved my life.
Wow.
Because I was going down the wrong path. It was just like, and it was bitter in the beginning because I was mad. I was even mad at my twin brother. I was like, well, why doesn't he remember? How are we twins? You know, how are we in this room at the same time? And, you know, how does he have his memory, but I don't have mine? Like, I was mad at everyone. It didn't make sense to me. Like, I was almost jealous. I was like, well, why are they normal? Why can't I be normal, right? And then, right. So I'm reading these, I have journals that I've written, like, for amnesia, and it's creepy because I wrote it as if I knew I was going to lose my memory because it's so detailed for so many years. And it's like, I was just so negative. Like, I was so negative, and I was so depressed, and I just wanted to be like everybody else. Like, you know, the average 21-year-old, well, I'm 24 now, but the average 21-year-old, you know, would go to a bar, or they'll go out, or they'll go do this, and I could do those things because of flashing lights, because of the different triggers that, you know, those environments come with. And I wanted to be like everybody else. Like, I wanted to, and I was going down the wrong path because I didn't accept who I was, and I didn't love myself for who I was, and you know, well, basically what my diagnosis was, you know. And now, like, looking back, it was like I just didn't appreciate the fact that I was different, you know. Like, yes. I love the fact that I'm different now, you know, like, there, it takes longer to plan out what I can do for fun, but that's okay. You know, I can't go to concerts, but I can go to a museum, you know, I mean, like, I can run a mile instead of, you know, going to a bar. Like, there's so many different things, like, you, instead of this, because I was from doctors and different things constantly told, and even colleges constantly told what I couldn't do, it was up to me to tell myself what I could do, you know.
Right, because, right. So, go ahead.
The yes was better than, the yes was much more encouraging than the no. Like, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. No, you can't stay at home by yourself because you might have a seizure. Like, no, you can't sleep with that pillow because you might suffocate. Like, it was discouraging, but it's a choice to receive it. It's a choice to receive, you know, just whatever it looks yes. like at that time, but I decided that I was going to make the best out of whatever this life thing was.
Yes, yes, most definitely. Now, you mentioned that you said you can't go to a concert.
No, I can't. Flashing lights, loud music.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And that would affect you, that can bring on a seizure?
Yes, correct. The flashing lights.
Okay.
Even just like watching award shows, I can't watch those things on TV either because of the flashing lights.
Oh, because of the flashing lights. Okay.
Yes.
So it's good to know what you can and cannot do.
Yes. Flashing lights is a major trigger for epileptic seizures.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Now that's something I didn't know. And I also understand that you are an advocate of epilepsy awareness.
Yes.
Which is great because you've been through it.
I hosted fundraisers throughout the year for people to understand. Wow. Because, you know, epilepsy is so, I don't understand why it's so taboo. Like, when I was reading about it in the past, you know, because I felt like if I learn about this, then it's possible that it'll help me get through it, you know? So
yes.
I was like,
Yes. Okay,
I was doing my research, and it's like, they thought that there were demons in the people having the seizure. And I was like, no, this is a neurological disorder. So I felt that, you know, I could show people that people with epilepsy don't have to sit on their hands and watch life pass them by. Like, we're completely capable of living regular, you know, quote unquote, normal lives, even with seizures. So what I do to raise awareness is, you know, so epilepsy, purple is the color of epilepsy awareness. So purple is one of the colors in my logo. And even the purple ribbon is, you know, in my facility. And there's different posters about seizures. What do you do when someone has a seizure? And I support those other people with epilepsy, even like younger kids with epilepsy, so they know that you can live a full life.
Oh, most definitely.
Even with this.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're living proof, and actually you're accomplishing some great things that of which we're going to talk about as well. You know.
Yeah.
Now, you experienced more trauma in your life than most people do in a lifetime, and like you said, you're only 24. Which means, for most of us, that's very young, okay? But you still, your experiences are such that there are people who are twice, three, four times your age that haven't experienced what you've experienced. I mean, the two car accidents, the seizures, you know, and some people would have just given up. But you showed, you know, your ability to get through this. And do you feel that there's a purpose in your life, and that's the reason why you're still here? Caprice?
Yes, I do feel there's a purpose in my life, and that is the precise reason why I'm still here. Because those accidents were deadly. Like, I shouldn't have survived, but I did. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to waste those second chances by not helping other people. It's selfish to keep it to myself. I'm like, man, like, I bought a book and it's called Treating Epilepsy Naturally. So now I have clients with MS. I have clients with Down syndrome, with cerebral palsy. Like, I want people to see that the only disability is a bad attitude. Like, and if you look to, you have to let the grocery store be medicine. And if you look to exercise, you look to moving your body as healing you, then it'll literally change your life. My purpose is to help people and show them and be the change. Like, I wanted to go to a private fitness center where I wouldn't be judged, and, you know, people wouldn't be like, oh, that's the training with seizures. Because I got that for like 2 years, and I hated it. So I had to create what I wanted. And my purpose lies in showing people how to turn their tragedy into their triumph.
Yes, yes, and that's such an important purpose. Now, you actually mentioned earlier, I mentioned in your bio, that you were exposed to yoga, and your father took you to a gym. And so
yes,
now
I was exposed to yoga at the Mayo Clinic.
At the Mayo Clinic, okay. And your father took you to the gym.
Yes.
And that kind of changed your life, and now you are into nutrition, you're a certified nutritionist, and you are a trainer. And you have your own business, correct?
Yes.
Now, how's that going?
Oh, it's so wonderful. The first 6 months were challenging because I was only a fitness trainer, right? Like, I only knew how to train. I only knew how to help people lose weight or help people build muscle or help people, you know, eat right. But I didn't know how to be a business owner. So it was the first 6 months were challenging, but it taught me so much. And now I'm, June will be 2 years with the brick and mortar fitness center. And I am expanding already because I grew my space. I'm doubling the size of my facility. But it's like, if I didn't go through all those hard times and making all those mistakes in that first 6 months, I would have never been able to do this thing. I would have never, you know, they wouldn't have been like, oh, wow, that fitness center is so successful. Like, look at that girl. She lost 40 pounds going there. Look at her. She lost this. Like, I would have never been able to help people that way if I didn't have to go through all that hardship, because if when you ask for something, ask for something great. Like, I wanted to provide a facility for all people, all kinds of people, because if I have epilepsy and I could do it, I have a client with Down syndrome, she lost 17 pounds. If they can do this, then anyone can do it. But it was all a part, like all that, all the rough stuff in the beginning of being an entrepreneur and learning how to be a business owner, because you have to be both. It's imperative that you're both. You can't just be the trainer. And it was just so wonderful. And being an entrepreneur was the best decision I've ever made.
Now, you call your facility Excuse-Free Fitness, right?
Excuse-Free Fitness.
Yes. And knowing what you've been through, you're saying there's no excuses. If you could do it, anybody can do it, right?
Seriously.
and you're living it and you're showing it. But tell my listeners about your facility. What takes place there? What goes on? What type of classes? What kind of people? What kind of instructors? Give us an overview about your facility.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I have young people, super wise people, even in their 60s. You know, my average, like my demographic is around 40s and 50s, the mature crowd. But it's just everyone comes here. Everyone comes. And so just to give it a shot, right? And they're just, and the atmosphere is so contagious. It's so positive. It's so uplifting. And I'm just blessed to be the vessel of change in the industry, that I have this facility and I was able to start it. And when people come in, like, it's so wonderful the way they smile and look around, and it's just a shift. And, everyone wants to go somewhere that everybody knows their name. And I learned that a long time ago. And I pride myself on even just being humble enough to come in here and know that I started this. But my members built this because they're so positive, and they believe in me. They look up to me. And they don't have excuses either. So what we do here is one-on-one personal training, and we do small group training, but also large group classes. So like the different classes that I have, of course, I have yoga. I am a tactical fitness boot camp instructor. So who taught me how to teach boot camp was an Army veteran. So it gets intense.
Nice.
But everything can be modified. So when someone comes in here like, all right, my left knee, I had a replacement a year ago. I can only do this and I can't do that. I'm like, okay, cool. I was taught, NASA taught me how to modify and regress so that there is no excuses. And some of those things that I can't do by myself, I can't do for myself, like HIIT workouts, high intensity interval training workouts, because it'll drop my sugar too fast. So I just modify it. I'll have to modify it for other people too. So like boot camp, we have yoga, we have Pilates, and we have a cross conditioning class. So cross conditioning, it's a scaled down version of CrossFit. So some people can be intimidated by a CrossFit gym, So one of my instructors, he actually does CrossFit, and he's like, hey, let's introduce them to this different style of training and a scaled down version, so they're not leaving, not crawling out of the door because they can't walk.
Yes. Wow.
We also have kickboxing. So a variety of classes, but everything can be modified. And we make sure that everyone is assessed, so they're in the right place.
Nice. What about nutrition?
Absolutely. So nutrition, I do custom meal plans. So I also have different challenges. I have like 21-day challenges, 6-week challenge. And in those challenges, I created recipes. I did a focus group, and I created recipes for 3 weeks. To help people detox their body and get them in the right frame of mind and thinking differently about food, because we have to retrain what we've learned. So we grew up addicted to taste. We grew up addicted to sugar, to the taste of sugar. So if we change our palate, then it's possible for us to change our body. You have to change your mind before you can change your body. So I have a different challenge in it. And the recipes that I get, I create myself. And
oh, really?
I use the foods that, so it's medicine, right? So a lot of cause of diseases is mucus and inflammation. So the foods that are in the plans reduce inflammation. They get rid of mucus. They clear your airways. They help your digestive system run smoothly, and the food tastes good because it's all about the type of seasonings you use. So there's different no salt seasonings that really help, because high blood pressure is an epidemic that needs to come to a screeching halt, but one person at a time, of course. So the different meal plans that I do, obviously I test them, and if I have a meal plan for someone with diabetes and for someone with high cholesterol and, you know, someone with celiac disease, because everyone is different. So my being a nutrition specialist taught me that, how to, and it's also come with trial and error, just to make them taste good. But
yes,
taught me how to pair foods so that they are serving a purpose and not just being not being energy dense, but they're nutrient dense.
Huh. Very good. Oh, I mean, I'm so impressed with your knowledge.
Thank you.
Really. You know, and would you say that, and I ask this of all nutritionists, would you say that the key to good health is nutrition is 80% of it?
Absolutely.
Right? 80%.
There's no other way. There's no other way.
No
other
way.
Because you can be like, a woman can be 35 years old, 5'4", then 120 pounds, barely visible from the side, right? Like super
yes.
slim and trim, like a bicycle ramp. But she has high blood pressure because she doesn't eat right. Like, the physical, you know, sometimes it could be a lot of genetics, but it's like if the inside isn't good, then you aren't, mm-hmm. you gotta change what you're doing. You have to change your habits. It's deceiving.
And I know for a fact that when you go to the doctor and they see that you have high blood pressure, the first thing they're gonna do is put you on the pill for the rest of your life, right?
I know, but there's other ways to do it.
Exactly, exactly. Wow, you are really, you're good. You're very good at what you do. And you're so inspirational, you know?
Thank you.
Now, have you ever thought about writing a book about your life, your young life?
Yes, I have. So I have a ton of journals that, like I told you earlier, I have wrote these journals as if I knew I was going to lose my memory. It's bizarre, but I would obviously need help, but I am inspired and motivated to write a book about my journey, like the earlier years of living up to amnesia,
yes.
Because I think that it's important. I think that it's important. I don't want to be the greatest story never told.
Yeah, right. Okay. The greatest story never told.
Never told. I don't want to be that. So
yeah.
And timing is everything, and at the right time.
Yes.
But I mean, I already started working on it, but at the right time, it'll come to fruition. But yeah, don't want to be the greatest story.
Yeah, and I thought about that too, because I know that I've had a couple people on my show, and they're in Netflix movies, Amazon movies. I mean, because, you know, a lot of these companies, Amazon, Netflix, HBO, On Demand, Hulu, they're looking for content based on books. And I'm thinking your story would be amazing and someone would be interested in, you know, I think, you know, putting your story on film, you know, for what you've been through and what you're doing now, and you're inspiring others to do it, you know, and the more visible you are, the better. Like being on this podcast, I saw the other videos, other shows you were on. It's only a matter of time because you have a great media portfolio and you're building it. And just write your book. Start writing your book. Your life story, you know? It's perfect. I think it would be a great interest to so many people. And, you know, it's not fully written yet, obviously, but you've accomplished so much already. You've been through a lot, and you're doing a lot. I just think it would be great for you to definitely put that into action, you know?
Thank you so much.
Definitely do that. It'll definitely pay off, I believe, you know? Big time. So what is next on your bucket list, Caprice?
I want to help as many people as I can. Because a lot of people they're in toxic situations, and they don't see that, you know, exercise is one of the most underused antidepressants, and, you know, nutrition will change your mood quicker than proper nutrition will change your mood quicker than,
good,
you know,
point.
Donuts, and they have such these negative effects. So I feel led to help as many people as I can. But I would love to open another facility across the world, so that many more people can live the excuse-free lifestyle and be the change that they wish to see as well.
Oh, most definitely. That's awesome. That's awesome. How can my listeners find out more about Caprice O'Brien? Can we follow you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So my Instagram would be Coach Caprice, and the Facebook would be Excuse Free Fitness.
Excuse Free Fitness. Do you have a Twitter account?
No.
Okay.
I feel like I did, but it's challenging right. for me to keep up with all the social media, because then there's Snapchat too, and I'm trying.
Oh yes, I know it's a lot.
There is a lot
to keep up with. And being an entrepreneur too, which is amazing, you know.
Yes.
Which is amazing. That's awesome. That's awesome. Back to your facility though. I forgot to ask this question. How many days a week are you open?
Six. So Monday through Saturday.
Oh, Monday through Saturday. So you take off on Sunday.
Yes.
Okay. And how many hours a day are you open?
15.
15 hours a day.
Yes.
Wow. So this is a full service, fully operational facility.
Yes.
Amazing. And it's been open now 2 years?
2 years in June.
2 years in June.
So coming up
Excellent.
To that.
Excellent. Now, is there anything else you want to share with my listeners with your amazing self?
I would like to say, whatever it looks like in the beginning, don't give up. Just don't give up. Because there is no magic to reaching your goals. There is no magic to finally living the life that you deserve, or living the life that you desire. But no matter who cares what it looks like in the beginning, just keep going.
Just keep going. Don't give up. Okay. And above all, no excuses, right?
None at all. Not a one.
Excellent. Caprice O'Brien, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I truly want to thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you so much. I am humbled and I appreciate it.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for the show, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.